Our guest today, Mark Cohn, will always be known for the huge hit on his first album, Walking in Memphis. And many of the elements of that song are evident on his latest release, Join the Parade, the influence of gospel music, the piano-based writing, and the thinly veiled autobiographic writing. Cohn's new album almost didn't happen for a couple of reasons, including a spate of writer's block that had been going on for over 5 years, and the 2005 armed carjacking and shooting that almost cost Cohn his life. The only good thing that came of it was it started him writing again, and shortly after the Katrina crisis gave him something to write about. I asked Cohn if the shooting unlocked his creativity.
It did. I mean, I was going through a severe case of writer's block, actually, at the time, and I scheduled this tour for about a month that summer, thinking it might be one more way I would try to see if it could open the floodgates. And I never expected it to happen the way that it did, but you're absolutely right. I mean, two events, really. Getting shot, which, it's such a difficult thing to articulate what that did to me or what it felt like. But a couple weeks later, Hurricane Katrina hit while I was at home recovering from some level of post-traumatic stress, and those two events combined turned the songwriting receiver back on.
What is the most traumatic thing to you, to one in that situation? Is it the fear for yourself, or that it's an unsafe world, or do you look at your life?
It keeps changing. You know, my initial thought, the first thought in my mind was, at the time, I have one more child since this happened, but my youngest at the time was two. And I was two when I lost my mom. And the first thing that occurred to me was, don't let him go without a parent. I said, I have children. I've got to get home. That was the first thing. And I guess since then, mostly after the elation faded away that I had actually survived just by the skin of my teeth, there is sort of this intermittent feeling of I'm not as safe as I thought I was. Now, of course, the real irony is we're not as safe as we think we are, but to actually walk around knowing that is a bit of a difficult dilemma.
Well, you talk about losing your mom when you were two. It's interesting you have a song that mentions your dad, or at least another car your dad has on this new album. last time we heard from you, he had a silver Thunderbird, but this time it's not quite as nice a car.
That's right. That's a little wink to my audience or anybody that's been paying attention. He actually had the silver Thunderbird. I changed it up a little bit. It actually, you know, it's funny. I saw somewhere something about a Blue Valiant, and that just I thought, well, I might as well put that in there and confuse everybody.
Well, it's interesting. I heard this song about actually 6 months ago. Somebody played it in a situation. I said, well, what a great song. And everybody kind of laughed about the change. Everybody noticed the change of car. But
well, I appreciate you paying such close attention.
But I do want to find out about the rest of the song. But let's let people hear it. It's a really beautiful song from the new album called Join the Parade. It's Listening to Levon.
Sitting in memory in my dad's Blue Valiant. Rain was coming down and the radio was playing. And Mary was talking a million miles a minute, but I could not hear one word she was saying. Because I was lost, I was gone, listen and believe on. In another world, oh, in another place. Yeah, I was lost, I was gone. Listen and believe on. I was looking in Mary's eyes, but I was listening and believe on. Mary's hair was black, that much I remember. Mary's skin was smooth, I remember that too. And she'd open her eyes sometimes when she kissed me. I don't know I was lost, I was gone, so gone. Listen and leave on in another place. Oh, in some other world. I was lost, I was gone. Listen and leave on. I was looking at the girl, but I was listening and leave on. I changed her name to protect the innocent. About the cause. This is just to say I'm sorry if I hurt you, but maybe if you're out there, you know who you are. Sorry, baby. Serves me right. You can't even hear me singing. If you tuned me out a long time ago, and it serves me right. If you've already changed the station, you're listening right now to that old boy on the radio, radio, and you're lost and you're gone. Listen and leave on in another world. Oh, in some other place. Are you lost? Are you gone? Listen and leave on. Is there a smile upon your face, baby, while you're listening to leave on?
Mark Cohn is playing live for us today, and that's listening to Leave On, a tune from the new album called Join the Parade. And one thing I learned about you over the years, when I learned that Walking in Memphis had a true story and a real Muriel and all that behind it, is you do write from life. And there's kind of the bridge in there is kind of a confession of
exactly
that.
Exactly right. Yeah. I just realized that as it was going by, that I actually admitted to the lie.
Yeah. Now has... Has Mary, in quotes, heard the song yet? Replied? You don't know.
You know, I've got to admit to you, this is the one time there's really no Mary.
Oh.
I mean, there is a sort of Mary out there, but there isn't one person I'm thinking of in this song. Well, actually, let me think about this. No, there is a Mary. No, there were a few Marys. You know, it was high school.
Right.
There is a Levon, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Now, yeah. I find you really very interesting as a songwriter, because you really pay homage to the people who you were listening to growing up. You've mentioned Jackson Browne. You've mentioned a number of people. And clearly, that song, I mean, the changes are very band-like in
right.
and of themselves.
You know, it's amazing. I didn't even think about this until recently, but one of the main things I write about is being a fan. It's not just what I say in interviews, but I actually write about it in songs.
It's true.
Memphis is really just a fan song. And so is this one, and so is The Calling on the record. I love writing about music because it's, for me, been such an enormous part of my life, and the people that make it that to me are... you know, truly magicians. But yeah, Levon and the band was just such a sound back when I first heard it. It's, they still are. And this was just such a natural tip of the hat to somebody that I think is so great. That entire band, obviously, but Levon being one of the last that's still here.
Absolutely. And I think he's got a new album out there too.
That's so. What I hear.
So, Mark Cohn is our guest. Well, can you do the calling and what's the tell the story about this one?
Well, you know, this one sort of mentions Charlie Christian. In parentheses, it's called Charlie Christian's Tune, who was a real pioneer of the electric guitar. And this song was actually written around 93 when I was making my second record with John Leventhal and with Ben Wish. And John was coming up to see me at this place that I had that I was trying to write the record in, this house in Connecticut. And he was coming on the 405 train on the New Haven line. I had some songs written, but not enough, I didn't think, for a full record. And I thought, maybe before he gets here, I can write one more. And it didn't take me long until I had this line. You know, it's the line started, Johnny took the 405 and he wrote it down the line. And I just imagined this scenario of, what was it that made John a guitar player? So I made up my own story that he had been touched by the ghost of Charlie Christian on a train ride in some point in the past. And by the time he got there, I had one more song.
Wow, that's great. So let's hear it. This is called The Calling. It's another new one from Mark Cohn.
Johnny took the 405 and he wrote it down the line. But he did not know that the ghost of Charlie Christian was riding too. But that's when he got the feeling, felt his soul and spirit rise. Closed his eyes and saw a vision. And he was sanctified. He said, I can hear a calling. I can hear a calling already. Like a priest or a missionary, I am only following somebody brush him on the shoulder, and a chill ran right down his spine. But he did not know that the ghost of Charlie Christian was riding too. But that's when he got the feeling, the music was coming up from the back. Heard the sound of fingers on steel and a wheel upon a track. He said, I can hear a calling. I can hear a calling sometimes. I've heard it in the night, and I've stood under the light of a calling, following a calling. I can hear a calling. I can hear a calling sometimes. I can hear it in the night. And I've stood under the light of a calling. Only following a calling.
That sounds great. That is The Calling, Mark Cohn, another new song from the new album, Join the Parade. And that's Mark on one of the acoustic guitars, but on the slide and lead, who's playing here?
The wonderful Shane Fontaine.
Sounds great.
Yeah, he's amazing. Been with me on the road for 10 years, but he's also played with Bruce Springsteen, that is.
Yeah, yes, I remember it well.
Yep, and Sting, and he has his own fantastic record. Really, really honored that he's been with me so long.
You mentioned the juxtaposition of your getting shot in the floods and aftermath of Katrina. How did you set up to approach that songwriting wise? I know there's Dance Back from the Grave is on here.
Well, that was the first song that I wrote in a really long time. I had four songs that I was sort of carrying with me for maybe 2 years that sounded like a quarter of a record to me. And I just couldn't write the last batch, you know, the six or seven more that I needed. And, you know, so I wouldn't recommend how I finally got to it. But, you know, getting shot was the beginning. But the real sort of opening came as I was just passing the television on a Sunday morning. Katrina had just happened. Long enough for this fantastic author, I later found who it was, named Rick Bragg, who I was already a fan of, had written sort of a this beautiful prose poem honoring the people of New Orleans post-Katrina, because he had lived there, which I didn't know. And all I heard as I was walking by the television, because somebody was reading what he had written, I think for the Washington Post, I'm not positive, was this line that said, I had seen the people of New Orleans who had always danced right up to the edge of the grave, and now they were going to have to learn how to dance back from it. And there was an immediate songwriter's light. That's the only way I know how to put it, where I thought, I can write that song. Dance Back from the Grave is a song, considering where I'm at personally and what I've just heard, if I can't write this song, I better just give it up. And the first thing I did was to try to get the complete piece that I had heard on the TV. Found out that it was this writer that I loved, a Pulitzer Prize winner, had written an amazing memoir called All Over But the Shoutin', which I had read years ago. And I thought, isn't that interesting that I already loved his voice and recognized it as something I loved again, even without knowing it was him. So I called him up. And he was excited to think of being, you know, an inadvertent songwriting collaborator. You know, it was interesting to him. And he said, you know, do whatever you want. And so I ended up using quite a few of Rick's original lines in the song, adding my own, obviously, and then putting it to music. And that was the beginning of the journey for me of finally completing a record, was, you know, writing this song that obviously resonated for me about what it meant to try to find your way back from some sort of devastation.
Well, tell you what, let's play it from the album, because it sounds great on there. This is Dance Back from the Grave.
I used to wake up every morning saying I must be getting away with something here. Every day was like parole before the levees overflowed. And I refused to think it could all just disappear. I refused to think. How long before the streetcar rattles down St. Charles Avenue and beads swing from 200-year-old trees? How how long before they walk down along Lake Pontchartrain with the smell of just magnolia on the breeze? Yeah, I've seen people laughing all the way down to the cemeteries just to send another soul off on its way. Yeah, I've seen them dance right up to the edge of it, but this time they're gonna dance back from the grave. Dance back! Souls crossed over and they were greeted by an all-star band. And while the saints go marching in, there's still hell to pay back down in Dixieland. Yeah, the storms are headed south again and the hour is getting pretty late. Somebody better build that levee, it's already Mardi Gras at Heaven's Gate. Dance back, dance back, dance back from the grave. Dance back, dance back. Get your tambourines, slide trombones, and dance.
Dance back from the grave, a song that was kind of a new beginning, or the beginning of finishing the album for Mark Cohn, right. and certainly speaks to his experience getting shot in the aftermath of that. You know, I'm interested. Where are you from originally? Where are you?
Cleveland.
Okay. Well, I thought you weren't from the South, and yet there is this string of Southern allusions through so much of your music. Have you always been fascinated by it?
Always.
Yeah.
You know, I only recently remembered because I was talking to a friend of mine about Preservation Hall, which I sort of reference in another song on the record. And he asked me, you know, was your reference to Preservation Hall meant to be reverent, or were you using it as something to poke fun at? Because a lot of people that live in New Orleans see Preservation Hall as something not that authentic, more of a touristy thing. And it was at that moment that I flashed back to a memory I had completely forgotten, which was that my stepmother, when I was about 7, took me to New Orleans. And I'd never heard of Preservation Hall. I'd never heard anything like that in my life and didn't even know where she was taking me. And I was transfixed. I made her let me stay there for at least 4 to 5 hours. And I was just a 7-year-old kid, and it was hot as hell. It was the summertime. We were, you know, I was on vacation from school, and I couldn't believe my eyes or my ears. And it's the same way I felt the first time I went into a Southern Baptist church and heard that music. And it's always been the kind of music I've connected to in a way that was beyond description or explanation, including the time I walked into Al Green's church. Of course, I was already a huge fan of Al Green, but to hear him preach in his own church for 4 or 5 hours, I gotta say, was religious. And I'm, you know, not very religious.
What's the story behind Let Me Be Your Witness?
Well, should I come right out and say it? That's always the thing, you know, or be guarded like all good singer-songwriters.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you that from just one part of the story, which isn't the crucial part, but my third child, Zachary, had just been born, and I had this upright piano in our living room. And I was already struggling with writer's block, as we've talked about, but now he's born, and I found that, you know, when he's awake, I can't play. Because all he wants to do is come play with me, and he's banging on the keys and all that. And when he's asleep, I can't play because I'll wake him up. So I literally had to spend weeks looking for a place I could just go find a piano. And because I had a few lyrics, and one of them was Let Me Be Your Witness, but I had no music. So what I did was I just gave the lyric to a few of my friends because I couldn't actually sit down at a piano, and I instinctively thought it was a piano song, even though I could have tried to write something on guitar. And I did give it to a friend of mine named Kenny White, who's a really good songwriter in his own right, and he came up with a good deal of the music. And then we found a church on West End Avenue in New York City. Beautiful church where you could actually rent out the sanctuary for $20 an hour that had a grand piano on the stage. And I'd go in there to just try to play when my son was sleeping. You know, it was only a few blocks from my house. And Kenny and I finished this song there together. Wow. And it's, you know, I guess it's an homage to, and a love song for my wife. Let's just be blatant about it and come right out and say it. You know, she's the inspiration for this tune, and there you go. Should we play it?
Absolutely.
When your longest night is coming down, when pieces of you hit the ground, when every word they say about you is a lie, when they put your soul up for review and they're set on turning every screw, just call on me and I will testify. Let me be your witness. Let me be your witness. Let me be your witness. When no one sees and no one hears your secret heart, your bitter tears, when it feels like you're just sinking in the sand, when you can't remember who you are and you wonder how you came this far, just call my name, put me on the stand. Let me be your witness. Let me be your witness to your mystery, to your ecstasy, to the tears you cry. I will testify to your longest night, to how hard you fight, to your inner life, a high place, your place, where you are and to who you've been. Maybe Jesus, maybe Jezebel, to your heaven, to your hell. Let me be your witness, let me be your witness. Your longest night, to how hard you fight, to your mystery, when your back's against the wall, when you got no friends at all, just when you got no friends at all. Put me on the stand, baby. 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 Let me be your witness.
A gospel rave-up love song from Mark Cohn, our guest on the cafe, to his wife. Folks may know that Mark's married to Elizabeth Vargas. And Mark, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
A real treat. Mark Cohn, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.